Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Let me turn to my guests who are with me this morning, and they are joining us on the phone today, and joining me from San Juan Regional Medical Center. Suzanne Smith is here. She's the chief nursing officer at the hospital. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning to you, Scott.
Thank you for calling in and being here with us. And also, Cindy Baez is here. She is the director of nursing at San Juan Regional Medical Center. And so, Cindy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott.
Glad that you're both with us, and as I mentioned, we have Hospital Quality Week is coming up, if I'm not mistaken, and so that's this month sometime, right? Is it this week?
I believe it's next week, sir.
Next week. Okay. Well, our timing is still pretty good, so This is when we get to talk about that. And so when we talk about hospital quality and safety, that encompasses a whole lot of stuff, I know. Suzanne, can you start by kind of giving us an overview of what we're talking about?
Of course, Scott. Thank you. So we look at quality and safety being linked together. I think that oftentimes patients think of quality of care as resulting with the results or the outcomes of their care. But we link them together because safety is a significant impactor of the quality of care that's provided. And we know that in hospital care, nursing plays a really large role in that environment. That the nurses are with the patients 24/7. And really impact their well-being overall. So we focus on things that they're called nursing-driven quality indicators. And so we are always paying attention to the opportunity to mitigate the risk for patient falls or for skin breakdown. So we really focus on protecting a patient's skin in that care environment.
Understood. And so, and Cindy, then how does that impact you and the nurses that you are working with on a daily basis?
So it impacts greatly. We try to teach new employees all the safety tools in order to prevent patient harm, the fall reduction. So we do have a fall management or reduction program in place where every patient is assessed on their fall risk. Depending on that fall risk, then we implement certain measures. You have the bed in low position. You have the bed alarm on. We have signage. This is a high fall risk patient. Frequent monitoring. Our hourly rounding is one tool that we use to mitigate falls. We monitor the falls every month, review for any trends, and then make suggestions for changes, et cetera. So it's an ongoing prevention program that we have in place.
So again, linking that safety and quality, patient harm is a significant impactor of the quality of care that's provided. Not just the real quality, but also the perception of that, and that if you're paying attention to the detail to prevent any injury to a patient. It really is the most paramount importance in hospitalization. And really with the trends across the nation, we really pay attention to opportunities of interventions and new equipment or new materials that we can look at to prevent that. For instance, San Juan Regional Medical Center, just this month, replaced a significant number of their patient care beds. And we are very excited about this because it really uses the latest and greatest technology to help the nursing staff protect that patient. It also increases the comfort of the patient and the safety of the patient on an everyday basis. So it's something that it's an investment really in that quality of care and the safety of the patient. We're very proud of that and very excited about that opportunity to provide that service to our patients.
Sure, sure. And when we were talking earlier a little bit about kind of a patient experience at the hospital, and of course talking about their outcomes, and we want everyone to get better from whatever ails them that brought them to the hospital in the first place, and to be able to go home. But I imagine that's still a big determining factor necessarily about the personal opinion that the patient may have about their quality of care and how they made out, if they're going home and they still have an ache or a pain, or if they feel better than when they went to the hospital. Is that something that you deal with as well?
Yes, it absolutely is. I think that, you know, patients have an expectation for an element of quality of care. They have an expectation, and they have a right to expect that high quality care when they're managed in a hospital environment. And then assuring their safety and their well-being and their personal comfort, their emotional comfort, emotional well-being, all of those factors, as we all know, really impact a patient's perception of their situation and really lend themselves to positive outcomes upon discharge. So we really want to pay attention to all of those details on that patient's everyday stay.
Very true. Well, good to know. And so let me turn to both of you and ask you a little bit about keeping the quality bar where you have it, which is high, during a global pandemic. I imagine that has added a few more steps to your daily routines for not just you, but everybody at Salmon Regional Medical Center. And so what does COVID-19 mean for quality and safety at the hospital?
So I think that safety for all is is at the forefront of everything we do. Even during this pandemic, we have assured that our staff remain safe, patients, visitors remain safe. So we have actually been meeting we introduced our incident command center. I think we started meeting in February, mm-hmm. and we continue to meet daily for reporting where we at with our PPE and
some of that, right?
Sorry, PPE is personal protective equipment, your gowns, your
right.
masks, your etc. So,
and early on, that was hard to come by, if I recall correctly, at many hospitals, not just here, but across the country. And so trying to manage that and preserve it as best you could with the supplies that you had available, I guess that was an important meetings to have early on during all this.
Yeah, you know, nationally, there were some shortages and some then delay in delivery of items. And so I think it was really important to Salmon Regional Medical Center leadership, and really every organization across our country, to really focus on the provision of adequate PPE so that the staff were protected and the patients were protected. And so I think that, you know, we listened to the research that was ongoing across our nation, the things that people who faced surges in patients in advance of us, the things that they learned, and we took advantage of that. And we also were very creative in our use of PPE, but we're also very directed. So we have, you know, established expectations, if you will, standards by which each personnel member of our staff who manage patient care, who come in contact with patients, with each other. There are expectations for the type of PPE that they utilize, and this is all geared for keeping everyone safe and protected, the most important component. We focus on not just the PPE, but that frequent hand hygiene and how and when you perform hand hygiene. Wearing a mask, we instituted really early on in our organization a universal mask mandate. So every employee is expected to wear a mask of some form, and the type of mask that is worn by personnel is really directed by their contact with at-risk components of care. So whether that's a cloth mask, a surgical mask, or indeed an N95, which I think a lot of people hear about in the news, which is that highest level of protection.
Right.
And then also the social distancing, a really important component. And, you know, really, we're you know, by nature, human beings need that contact. They need that contact, and social distancing, just the nature of it, is problematic, particularly for someone who's in an emotional state of ill health or something that's frightening. Hospitalization is something that we rarely choose, right?
Right.
Rarely a chosen environment. And so not being able to have that close contact with your loved ones, even with the people who are providing your care, it really has its impact. It has its impact.
Indeed.
We recognize that.
And even before COVID, I must say that I know that you had a lot of these similar policies in effect at the hospital, because there's still infectious diseases roaming around and that could roam around if you're not careful. And so a lot of the stuff we're talking about today is stuff, I know hand hygiene's been a big deal at the hospital for forever, it seems. And so I think what maybe COVID has done is maybe just reinforced to the rest of us how important all these things are to keep doing.
Yes. Hand hygiene or cleanliness of environment has always been a forefront of any medical center in order to keep patients and staff safe. So I think people are more diligent now on making sure that good hand hygiene is maintained. But yes, it's important. Whether you're in the hospital or not, if you're going to a grocery store, good hand hygiene will possibly eliminate that transmission of any type of disease or contagious.
Right.
You know, Scott, one of the things that we think is really important and really advocate for, Santa Rosa Medical Center advocates, is that self-awareness, you know, awareness of your environment, whether you're an employee and you're here at work, and what you might be exposed to, but also in your own personal lives, and really advocate that, you know, everyone in our community be self-aware of where they are and what they might be in contact with. That's why that wearing a mask and social distancing and really solid hand hygiene, whether it's with soap and water or an alcohol rub, those things really make a difference in preventing the spread. And prevention of spread is what helps it decrease in volume and eventually.
Right. Very true. I can't tell you both how many times I've opened a door with my elbow in the last 8 months. Many.
But you get really good at it, don't you?
You do. You really get good at it, too.
You can push a button in the elevator with your elbow, too. We're pretty good at that.
There you go. Good to know. So, perfect. My guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center, we are talking about quality medical care and safety. Suzanne Smith is one of my guests. She is the chief nursing officer at San Juan Regional Medical Center. Also, Cindy Baez is on the phone with us as well. She is the San Juan Regional Medical Center director of nursing. And again, it's great to have both of you on with me this morning as we talk about all of this. And so, again, at the peak of all this, when the COVID floor was full, And the hospital was just trying to kind of handle the patients that they had. Again, we never had a super large surge, but I know conditions were pretty busy there during the peak. And we're so grateful that our numbers have dropped and continue to be low compared to other parts of the state when we're talking about COVID-19. But again, I imagine that there's a lot of pressure to get patients in and treat them and get from patient to patient to patient, Cindy Baez, with your nurses and nursing staff. But still, they've got to remember all these other safety protocols and other things that are in place. And I imagine you have methods and training to do that, to help them do that.
Yes. Also, I wanted to mention was the emergency department and keeping patients and staff safe there as well. So we had implemented a respiratory side and a non-respiratory side. So depending on what the patient presents, they're triaged to those different areas in order to keep both the staff and the patient safe. So that's one way that we have mitigated that risk for all. But then also, yes, we do have a dedicated unit on the medical floor, that's the fourth floor, that houses the respiratory illnesses, and then also an ICU level of respiratory floor as well.
Right. And
all those,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I was just going to say, and all those nursing staff and all the staff, actually, housekeeping and laboratory staff, they receive additional training on proper personal protective equipment, donning and doffing, and what do we do with this case or that case. So they had additional training through this time as well.
Sure.
To make sure that everyone is safe and... So I think, did I answer your question?
I think you did, and I'm assuming that those respiratory sections, those separations, were directly related to the COVID pandemic and the COVID cases?
Correct, because we did not do that before.
Right. And you bring up an interesting point, too, because I think we all know or can figure out how to put on personal protective equipment, whether it's a face mask or a gown or something to, or goggles or whatever, the face shield and gloves and things like that. But how do you take them off and not contaminate or mess things up and things like that? And so that's an important part of the training as well that your staff has been undergoing, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, there's an art to it.
I would think.
You know, there is an art, and because it's such a significant impact and stuff, we spent a lot of time really helping people, not just, have the physical moves that it would require for removing the PPE, really understanding. You know, we all learn better if we understand the why, the rationale, the scientific support of why we're cautious about how the contact we make with the external parts of our PPE. So I think that really knowing that and being familiar has really lent itself to, I think, a really safe environment. I think it's important that the residents of San Juan County recognize that San Juan Regional Medical Center has made significant effort to assure that safety of patients, of the staff, and that it's safe to come to San Juan Regional Medical Center. It's safe to come to the emergency room. If someone has a medical emergency, it is important to seek care, that they can do so with confidence, that they are in a safe environment, and that we are focused on the detail that protects patients from any transmission of disease. And there's a lot of effort that goes into that, but we recognize that it's of the paramount importance.
Right.
We assure that with confidence we can protect patients, and it's important to seek the care they need.
True, and I know that was a concern, and still is a concern, that during all this this time that folks are maybe putting off some of their checkups and medical procedures and things like that, and maybe they shouldn't be doing that. And so I think that's great advice to remind all of us not to postpone something that may be very important to get taken care of or looked at or figured out. So I definitely appreciate that. I wanted to ask you both, too, if there's any responsibility on the visitors to patients. I know visitation policies have changed over the course of the last few months, but in some cases they're still allowed, of course, to come in and visit patients. And so what do we have as a visitor to the hospital to keep in mind when we're trying to help with quality and safety of the staff and patients there?
So initially we had a very tight visitor restrictions when this first started.
Sure.
It was only in certain circumstances that we allowed visitors, end of life, or patient was unable to make decisions, etc. Through the course of these months, we have allowed now visitors for the non-respiratory areas, so they can have one visitor come in. There, we have hours, and the hours are
93.
They still do have to go through a series of questions and a temperature check, along with every employee who comes into our organization on a daily basis. We have to answer some questions and we take our temperature daily. So we still have to go through that. And we're always looking at, what are other hospitals doing? What's the best practice out there? Look at the states of where those visitors are coming from And do we allow those patients, those visitors in, et cetera? I know it has been difficult for the community to have loved ones in the hospital, and we have tried our best either through Zoom or calling and updating the patient status, et cetera, facilitating that Zoom between the family members and the patients. So we have tried our best to keep those lines of communication open with family members, but we also have to remain vigilant on making sure that the community as a whole are kept safe in addition to our staff, so because our staff is part of the community. So
one of the things that we instituted, Scott, was because we had visitor changes and stuff, we had a visitor cafeteria that was not being utilized, and we created it as a repurposed it. We repurposed our visitor cafeteria to be a family meeting space. So when family members, and particularly large family members, need to have a conversation with a physician provider about the status or the ongoing care of their loved one, this is a safe environment for people to meet and have those conversations. And I think that it has been well, much used, and I think appreciated, and a very effective way to pull family members together and stuff to have conversations about what's going on with their loved one. It does not replace the close contact of the visitation, and we recognize that. It's the burden, the emotional burden for the patient and for the family members, it's evident, and we are aware. We are aware of that burden and respect that, but unfortunately we must balance it with what we know to be safe practices to assure the well-being of all parties.
Sure. And it's going to be difficult, I know, to kind of make those decisions or make those recommendations, and you really are trying to balance the safety of your staff and your patients with certainly the needs for these families who want to be together, who need to be together. And you mentioned some of the virtual ways you're able to do that. And so it sounds like there's been a lot of outside-the-box thinking during the last 8 months or so to try to, again, meet the needs of your patients and visitors, but also, again, maintaining those safe requirements that you need to do.
Absolutely. I would say to you, it's the daily attention to that detail.
Right. And we just have a couple of minutes remaining this morning with both of you, and I wanted to ask, I imagine a lot of these things that we are talking about, these quality standards and safety standards at the hospital, those also go into the hospital's accreditation certifications and things like that, that the hospital certainly is very proud of. But if you're not meeting these things, you're not going to get the accreditation you're looking for, I would imagine.
That's absolutely true. You know, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid mandate that a certain element or level of accreditation be evident for their beneficiaries. Of course, that carries through to all parties, all patients and stuff, but the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid have some oversight responsibility for accreditation of hospitals across our country. And so, yes, it's a very important component. And really, it's all focused on again, that the quality of care, the safety of care, the efficiency of care, all of those things come into play. And they transcend every department. They transcend housekeeping, safety and security, nursing, pharmacy, respiratory. Every department is impacted by those standards, the standards of practice, really, that are set forward, basic expectations for quality and safety of care. And they all have positive impact on the well-being of the patients and the people who seek care in our environment.
Sure. And just one final question for both of you, and that's kind of an open-ended question, but do you see that maybe patients are being more engaged in their care, asking maybe more questions of their nurses, of their doctors for sure, maybe about their treatments and what's going on and what is happening? Have you found that to be the case more recently than maybe in years past?
So honestly, Scott, I can't really answer that. I do know that we advocate for patients to be partners with us in planning what that care is going to be. We want them to be partners in their care. So, I mean, I I really can't answer if it has increased or not, but that's always been our encouragement to all patients to be partners with us.
I see.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Clearly, patients have a right to direct their own care. You know, certainly you seek professional opinion, your provider, your physicians. You're seeking their professional opinion, their advice, their care, their management of your disease. Mm-hmm. But patients need to have the right to ask questions and be well informed. Really important to be well informed.
No kidding. No, that's for sure. But is there more of a focus on that recently than there was maybe 5-10 years ago, or am I just?
I think 5-10 years ago, I think it's fair to say that yes, there's a intensity in that being aware and stuff. Not more recently. You know, maybe more recently, what we've seen is that when you don't have a family member at your side to be your advocate, to remember to ask the question, we need to be more attentive to providing information that maybe a question wasn't asked, but we know it should be. So I think that that's without your advocate there with you. But I would agree that over the last, say, 5 to 10 years and stuff, really that push toward the patient being in control of their own care environment, and really it's a patient right. It is recognized as a patient right to be informed and to be given the opportunity to make decisions.
Got it. Very good. Well, thank you both for joining me this morning. I'm sorry we couldn't see your smiling faces with our Zoom connection, but I'm glad the phones are working and we were able to connect that way. But always great to visit with both of you and talking about quality and medical care at San Juan Regional Medical Center. Thank you both.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
You're very welcome. Thank you both.
You have a great day.
Yes, have a great day.
Will do. And back to you as well, both of you. Thank you very much. My guests here on KSJE, Suzanne Smith, the Chief Nursing Officer at San Juan Regional Medical Center, Cindy Baez, Director of Nursing at San Juan Regional Medical Center here on KSJE. More coming up after this. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.